Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Let's go way back in time to about the year 30 AD. Jesus knows this is his last night on earth. The next morning he'll be crucified. So he takes his disciples into the upper room and he has the Last Supper. During the Last Supper, he does something kind of strange. He gets a basin of water and he starts to wash the disciples' feet. They don't know what this means. This is strange. In fact, Peter protests, but Jesus does it anyway because Jesus is pre-symbolizing what he's going to do the next day on the cross of washing them, not of their feet, but of their sins on the cross. What I want to do for this program is to learn all the lessons we can from the day the Lord of the universe washed feet. Would you take out your Bible? Turn with me to John chapter 13, and let's pray. Father, we pray again that you would open the scriptures to us, open our ears, our hearts, open my mouth, and Lord, speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 12, starting at verse 1. This is the Last Supper. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. First lesson I want you to get today, Jesus loves his own to the end. They're not talking about God's general love for mankind in this verse. They're talking about the special love that Jesus has for his believers. So I want you to know, if you're a believer in Christ, Jesus has a deep, special love for you. I have a memory of when I was about 10 years old, sitting on the floor in the basement. Mom and Dad were sitting behind me on the couch. We're watching TV. We're watching the Billy Graham Crusade. And at the end, Billy is preaching the love of Christ. And at the end, he said, if you've never come forward to receive Christ, come. And all the people on TV started going down the aisle. And as a joke, I turned to my Lutheran mom and my Catholic dad, and I said, well, I think I'll go down front. And my mom said, you know, you can, Tommy. 40 years after that, Billy Graham comes to Minneapolis for the Billy Graham Crusade. I went, and he preached marvelously the love of Jesus. And he said, no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, if you will come to Christ, Jesus loves you. God will forgive your sins. I want you to know that. No matter what sin you have committed, even as a Christian, there's a deep love Jesus has for you. He's the forgiver of sins. Karl Barth is reputed to be the greatest theologian of the 20th century. He's written volumes like this on the Christian faith. He comes over in the 1960s from Switzerland to lecture at an American seminary. During his lecture, a student puts up his hand, Dr. Barth, could you give us your deepest theological insight on the Christian faith? Karl Barth said, it's a song my mother taught me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. John chapter 13, verse 1, talks about the deep love Jesus has for his believers. Look at verse 2. And during supper, the devil, already having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Here's the next lesson. Trust God is ultimately in control. See, the devil's doing stuff in this verse. He's putting it into Judas's heart to get Jesus crucified, and Jesus knows that the devil's doing stuff. Nevertheless, Jesus trusts, no, Satan, you're not in control. My heavenly Father is in control of all this. I remember years ago going to Italy. There's a big Roman arena in Pozzuoli, Italy, 2,000 years old. And in the middle of the arena is a sign, Christians were thrown to the lions here. And do you realize that for the first 300 years of Christianity, the Roman Empire tried to stomp us out, threw us to the lions, boiled us in oil, froze us on lakes. I mean, lots of Christians died, but the church kept popping back up. Why? Because ultimately, Satan doesn't rule things. God rules things. So if you're being attacked right now by an enemy or by Satan or something horrible's going on, hang on. Ultimately, God is in control of this for your good. Romans 8:28. You remember 9/11. The year was 2001. The Twin Towers came down. 9/11. Lots of Christian preachers were saying, God had nothing to do with this. This was not God that did this. There was one preacher, Dr. James Kennedy, a Presbyterian, who got on TV and said, quote, God had everything to do with 9/11. And he said the way America has turned its back on God with all the pornography, homosexuality, premarital sex, abortion, God had everything to do with 9/11. All right, let's fast forward today. COVID. Lots of people are saying, preachers are saying COVID is of the devil or COVID is just a fluke of nature, but God isn't behind this. Dr. James Kennedy would say, God has everything to do with COVID. I mean, I had COVID. It was really rough on me. For 4 nights, I was praying for death. God taught me some good things through COVID. And I'm getting this from the book of Job. The first 3 chapters of Job, read them. Satan is hitting Job with this horrible stuff, but before he can touch Job each time, Satan has to go before the throne of God and get permission. And I remember an old preacher saying this, nothing can come into the life of a child of God unless it first goes before the throne to get permission. I'm going to repeat that. Nothing can come into your life, even horrible stuff, can come into your life unless it first goes before the throne of God to get permission. So if Satan's doing awful stuff in your life, well, hold on. Romans 8:28 promises somehow God is going to overrule this. God's in control of even the devil for our good. So Jesus is about to be nailed to the cross the next morning, but he's trusting God is still in control. And then verse 4, John chapter 13, verse 4. Jesus rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments and, taking a towel, girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And he said to Simon, so he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I do you do not understand now, but you will understand hereafter. Here's the next lesson. When you don't understand God, wait. I mean, the disciples don't understand that the next morning Jesus would be killed on the cross. They don't know he's doing a pre-symbolism here, washing their feet, symbolic of how one day, the next day, he will wash their souls. So if God does something in your life and you're thinking, what on earth is going on? Wait. In God's timing, he'll show you. And verse 8, here's what Peter says. Peter said to Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. Next lesson. Beware of giving God orders. Peter has done this before. Jesus said, Jesus predicted, I will die on the cross. And Peter says, no, you won't. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So beware of giving God orders. You know, some people treat God like a dog. It's like they hold up this hoop. Jump, boy, jump. God, jump through my hoop. And if God doesn't answer all their prayers, well, then I'm not going to believe in God. No. God gives the orders, not us. Beware of giving God orders. Look at the rest of verse 8. Jesus answered him to Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. And here's, I think, the main lesson. If you do not let Jesus wash you, you will not be saved. A biblical scholar wrote this about these verses. Many take this story, the washing of feet, as no more than a lesson in humility. The deeper meaning is that there is no place in Christ's fellowship for those who have not been cleansed by his atoning death. Many people today would like to be Christians, but see no need of the cross. They are ready to admire Jesus' life and to praise his moral teaching, but they cannot bring themselves to believe that Christ died for their sins and that without his death, they would be lost forever. I mean, do you understand this? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're dirty. We deserve hell. And if Christ doesn't atone for our sins, we're going to hell. That's what this is all about. We need to be washed. I mean, whenever I give communion to someone, I like to explain it first. You know, we're going to have communion now, but do you understand what communion is about? We're dirty. We're sinful. We need Christ's death, his blood, to wash our sins away. And when we take communion, we're participating in the atoning death of Christ, which is once for all completed for all time. And now we get a foretaste of the great feast in heaven. But I explain Holy Communion because a lot of people think, well, I'm a basically good person. You know you're not. We need Christ's death to be saved. Look at verse 9. Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, then not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to Peter, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Talking about Judas, who was about to betray him. Here's the next lesson, though, from this verse. It says, believers are clean. If you were to come to me to get baptized, let me tell you how I like to sit down with the person and explain what baptism is. And here's what I say. This finger is you and me. And this hand is God on Judgment Day. We have to stand before God on Judgment Day. If he sees sin on us, we don't go to heaven because God won't let sin up into heaven. So what God does in baptism, he washes me of my sins. And it says in Galatians 3, as many as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. So now when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin anymore. He sees 33 years of perfect righteousness. That perfect life that Jesus led when he was on earth, I'm clothed in that, so God does not see my sin. So I go to heaven when I die. According to this verse, but Pastor, I still sin. I've been a Christian 20 years, but I do too. But because of Christ, God sees us as clean. And I think the more we would come to believe in the imputed righteousness of Christ that God puts on us, that would change our lives. I mean, for instance, let's say you wake up tomorrow morning and you see yourself dressed in dirty rags. Well, then it's going to be kind of easy for you to get up and go through the day and get real dirty because, hey, you're dirty anyway. But tomorrow morning, would you do this? Wake up and see yourself dressed in a white tuxedo. You are wearing the perfect righteousness of Christ. In God's sight, because of Jesus, you are perfect. You are clean. Believe that. And I think it'll be a little harder to go play in the mud. Let's look at verse 11. Talking about Judas now, for Jesus knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, Jesus said, not all of you are clean. Here's the next lesson. Unbelievers are not clean. I don't give money to public television when they have their fundraisers on TV. There are some shows I like on public TV. I don't give them my money. Have you noticed how far to the left public television is? I mean, every June we have Gay Lesbian Month, where they have a whole month of gay lesbian type programming. And years ago, public television, certain places in the country, would allow a Christian preacher on Sunday to get on TV to preach for the shut-ins. They banned that a few years ago. But do you know who they will put on TV? New Age preachers like Deepak Chopra, and they will tell you, you're not dirty, you're clean, you're wonderful. All you need to do is to get in touch with your inner godness, because we are all God. No, we're not. Let me tell you something you're not going to hear on public television. You're not clean. I'm not clean. We need Jesus and his atoning death, his blood, to be clean. So, I was watching TV, and here is the opening session of the Minnesota State Legislature. A pastor with a collar gets up to give the opening prayer. And I'm wondering, is he going to wimp out? Is he going to close his prayer in the name of Jesus or not? And here was his prayer. He closes his prayer, in the name of whatever God or spirit you believe in, however or whatever you conceive it to be. In other words, whatever works for you. No. I'm going to say something that I'm sure that preacher doesn't preach. The only thing that works if you want to be clean is the saving death of Christ. I've told this story before, but let me repeat it. An atheist soap manufacturer and his Christian friend are walking down the street. The atheist says to the Christian, I don't think your religion works. Christian says, well, why not? Well, Christianity's been around for 2,000 years. The world is still such a mess. Christianity doesn't work. They keep walking down the street. Here's a little boy playing in the mud. The Christian says to the man who owns the soap factory, I don't think your soap works. Well, of course my soap works. It's a very fine product. Well, look how dirty that little boy is. See, your soap doesn't work. The atheist said, well, of course it works. You've got to apply it. And the Christian said, bingo, Jesus works just fine. He'll wash any sin or any evil thing you've done, but you've got to apply the blood of Christ. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus. Take communion. Let Jesus wash you of your sins. Get baptized. It's only through faith in Christ that we are clean. Look at verse 12. And so when Jesus had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Here's the next lesson. Go for the towel. There was a preacher who said, so many in the church are fighting for the top, so few are fighting for the towel. And I was talking with a friend just 2 days ago, and he said, yeah, there's a couple in our church, and maybe some big event is going on upstairs, but they're willing always to be down in the basement, in the kitchen, washing the dishes. If the Lord of the universe, who created all things, Jesus Christ, when he became human, was willing to wash feet, I should be willing to wash the dishes. Now let's look and see, where does true happiness come from? The next verse. Look at verse 15. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, here's the key to happiness, blessed are you, or happy are you. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. What's the key to happiness? Here's the last lesson. Happiness or blessedness comes from obedience. If you do these things, not just knowing about them or believing about them, you're going to be happy if you do them. And haven't you learned, I have, when I disobey God, I feel miserable. When I obey God, even if it's hard, that brings me joy. I've shared this story too, but there's a Dalmatian dog. He's the pet of the fire station. Whenever there's a fire, the men jump on the fire engine and the dog jumps on and they go fight the fire. Well, one day they go do that and they get off the fire engine and the chief puts the dog under the tree and says, now stay. They go off and fight the fire. The chief comes back and the fire had spread from the house to the tree, burnt all the way down the tree and burnt the dog to death. And he said, that's the thing about that dog. He always did what I told him to do. I have learned, and haven't you as a believer, even when it's hard to obey God, that brings me more joy than if I disobey him. Well, those are the lessons that we learn from the day the Lord of the universe washed feet. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is, Christians in some Muslim lands are dying for Christ. Why doesn't God protect them?
Well, you know, Jesus said this was coming. When he was on earth, he said, you know, they're going to throw you drag you before synagogue. You're going to be persecuted. It happened in the first 300 years of Christianity during the Roman Empire days. And it's happening again in certain Muslim lands. You can lose your head for believing in Christ if you don't convert to Islam. So why doesn't God protect them? I think one answer is he does. He takes them to heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not promised a long life and freedom from persecution in this world. In fact, Paul says, indeed, all who are desiring to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted one way or another.
So it can be expected.
Yes, that's what he said.
How do you explain the fact that some non-believers are such nice people and some Christians are so difficult?
Yeah. Well, I think C.S. Lewis is the one who said this. You got to look at where people started. Mm-hmm. You know, Mona, what if there's an atheist who had tremendous atheist parents? They didn't believe in God, but they had good morals and raised this person in a moral home. And then you've got another person whose parents were nominally Christian, but just really not at all committed to God and really messed up this person's life. Well, one of those people is going to be ahead of the other as far as morals go. So C.S. Lewis said, you know, you got to look at where people came from. And I had a preaching professor who said, talked about a certain man who says, you know, Pastor, what do? This certain lady down the church who goes down the street, who goes to church every week, such a crab apple. Mm-hmm. And then my next door neighbor, who's an atheist, give you his shirt off his back, so nice. And the professor responded, that lady that's such a crab, you think she's a crab now? You should see what she'd be like if she didn't go to church. And the atheist you think is such a saint? He'd be St. Francis of Assisi if he went to church. Mm-hmm. So some of this is what you got stuck with as you got growing up.
Sometimes there's no answers, right? Can you deny that Christ died for your sins and be a Christian?
I don't think so, because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul the Apostle says, let me remind you, Corinthians, how you were saved, that Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. Paul says that is the thing of first importance. Can you deny that and be saved? I don't think so. And I'll tell you a modern thing that's happening. We have professors and pastors in some churches who deny that Jesus was punished in our place for our sins. Are they saved? I can't say they are. They mock this doctrine, and they call it divine child abuse, that God the Father would punish Jesus for our sins, that Jesus is being abused by his... Jesus voluntarily went to the cross. He wanted to pay the sin debt. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't go to a church, and I could tell you a big Lutheran church in town whose pastor denies that Jesus died in our place to save us from the wrath of God. Mm. Why be a pastor? Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Are things like terrorist attacks and COVID from God or the devil?
It can be both, but here's the thing. Mona, I'll ask you, when God punished Pharaoh with all the plagues in the book of Exodus, was that the devil doing that or the Lord doing that?
I think it was the Lord.
It says the Lord did that. Who rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah? Did the devil do that? The Lord did that. Mm-hmm. Who brought the Jews into slavery for 70 years in 586 BC for their idolatry? The Old Testament says God did that. Mm-hmm. So I believe God's in control of all this. And yes, it does say that Satan put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Christ. So Satan can be involved in these things, but ultimately God can control even the devil. It was God's plan for Jesus to be crucified for our salvation. Mm-hmm. Satan, I don't think, knew that he was doing God's plan by getting Jesus onto the cross, but Satan doesn't know everything. I mean, he's not omniscient like God is. Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah. Does God love everyone? Are there any Bible verses that say God hates people?
There's a general love that God has for all mankind, and that he gives us rain and crops and all that. The Bible talks about the general love of God. But the Bible also talks about the wrath of God, the mm-hmm. anger of God, which is against everyone because of our sin. And does God hate anybody? You gotta, for God so loved the world, so God loves the world. But these are in the Bible too. Psalm 5:5, God, you hate all evildoers. Psalm 11, the Lord's soul hates the wicked and those who love violence. So if you turn your back on God, reject Christ, reject God, and that's your hard-hearted position, you're in trouble with God. Mm-hmm. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Do you have any Bible verses that provide comfort? I'm suffering and would appreciate some, and this is from a viewer, some comforting scriptures.
I love Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together, not just the happy, good things. Mm-hmm. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. So if you're suffering right now, I'd say take it to the Lord in prayer. And it says also another great verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So if you're suffering, claim Romans 8:28, God, I don't like this, but I trust you're in control, using this for my good. And then cast your, talk to the Lord about your sorrows. And he loves to hear his children when they pray.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
You said on your program that Catholics pray to angels, but Catholics do not pray to angels. We ask them to pray for us. Your response.
Well, that was a Catholic that saw my show where I, mm-hmm. I'm not saying all Catholics do, but some do, and Catholics don't pray for angels. He said, well, let me share with you a prayer from Pope Leo XIII from the 1800s, the prayer that he wrote, quote, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in our battle. Be our protection against wickedness. May God rebuke the devil, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, he's praying to the Archangel Michael, by the power of God, thrust Satan into hell, etc. Well, why not just pray, God, protect me mm-hmm. from the devil today? Mm-hmm. There's nowhere in the Bible they pray to the Archangel Michael. So I would encourage Catholics, everybody, I don't pray to Mary. I don't pray to the saints. I pray to God the Father. Now, are the saints in heaven praying for us? Very possibly. Mm-hmm. But it never says I'm to pray to Mary or Saint Christopher if I go on a trip. I just pray to God. That's the biblical teaching.
Can we pray that the Lord would send his angels
yeah,
to guide,
sure.
guard, and protect us?
I think you can, yeah.
Do you have any updates that we should know
well,
about?
Well, let's just tell people, we get so many letters now, and we're praising God for that. We're reaching more people than ever because one person died and left us a big gift in his will, mm-hmm. and then other people are being very generous in their donations. So whenever we get enough donations, we add more cities to get our show. We're very frugal with your money. We're Christian people that run this organization. I'm not going to buy a jet with your money. Mm-hmm. So that just praise God. Thanks for your prayers and your giving. Yeah.
God bless you this week and see you next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.